stand behind this desk, I never want to get in the way of the Lord. If God's blessing his people, I want him to have his way. I mean that. Oh, there'll be plenty of times if the Lord tarries where I'm going to get behind this desk and preach. And I love to preach, don't get me wrong. I love it to my soul. It is the calling of my life. But I'll tell you one thing, more than I want to preach, I want God to have his way. I want him to bless his people, because you know how many times I've walked out of services where God moved just like he did a few minutes ago, and I've talked to people and they come up to me and said, man, God just done something so special for me. You say, well, it was just 10 minutes of worship. It was just 10 minutes of lifting our hands and God moving. Oh, but God can do so much with a life in just a few moments when it's completely yielded unto him. And I'm thankful for that this morning. If you got your Bibles, 2 Timothy chapter 4 is where we're going to read this morning. Well, you are officially stuck with me. No, it is an honor this morning to stand before you on this first Sunday as your pastor. I mean that from the depth of my heart. God is blessed. I think it was me and Brother Neff were talking, and he asked me, he said, how does it feel? And I said, well, brother, I can't remember exact words that I told him, but I just can't put it fully into words. God's blessed. There's nothing like being in the will of God. There's no place I'd rather be. You say, well, Brother Shane, couldn't you have made more money at the shipyard? Maybe so. Definitely so. But I tell you one thing, there's no place I'd rather be this morning, because the will of God is a place that you can't buy it with all the money in the world. You can't buy the joy that comes with it. You can't buy the peace that comes with it. I'd rather be on the backside of a desert somewhere in the will of God than to be in the middle of a city surrounded by people and be out of his will. And I mean that this morning. God is good. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want to talk to you. What do you preach on your first Sunday as a pastor? Well, there's a lot of things you can preach, a lot of things I could preach this morning, but I want to talk to you about a pastor's pledge this morning. Very simple. These verses you probably heard read many times, but I just felt the Lord leading me here. I was going to preach it last Sunday when we weren't able to have church, so I'm going to preach it this Sunday as my first effective Sunday preaching behind this desk as your pastor. And I want to talk to you about this. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, if you're there, say amen. Paul writing here, he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. I want to preach this morning, if the Lord will help me for just a little while, on a pastor's pledge. Stretch forth your hand this way. Ask the Holy Ghost to anoint. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We've worshiped you, Lord, and I trust that we've all done it in spirit and in truth. I trust that the fruit of our lips has been real and wholesome. But now we come to the time where we open your book. And I ask this morning, Lord, let it not be my words, but let it be your words that are remembered. And Lord, I pray that you would instill it in our hearts that we might not sin against you, that you would establish the saints, Lord, and allow your will to be done in this place. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. On this first official Sunday as your pastor, I want to make a pledge to you that I will strive to do what Paul charged Timothy to do many years ago as he was there in that maritime prison. He charged Timothy with one simple charge here. It has a lot of facets. He told Timothy, preach the word, son. He said, there's going to come a time, he's going to go on in just the next few verses and say, I'm ready to be offered up. The time of my departure is at hand. What he's telling him there, son, I'm not always going to be around. But when I'm gone, this is what I want you to do. Preach the word of God and let it speak for itself. I'm reminded of the story of Charles Spurgeon back in the latter 1800s there. There were many that were beginning to debate and say that the word of God, the gospel, needed some defense by some intellectual men who had gone to seminary. Well, Charles Spurgeon got up one Sunday and began to talk about this matter, and he began to say about how some of Ian asked him to begin to, if you would, defend the faith or begin to bring about a defense of the gospel. And he said, I find it through prayer that it would be almost folly for me to try and defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he used this illustration. He said it would be almost as if you had a caged lion. And there that caged lion was under lock and key, could not get out. And an opposing army came against that caged lion and tried to attack it. And when that opposing army came against it, oh, the king's men or the king's soldiers went out in order to defend that lion. He said, I dare say this would be a waste of their efforts. Simply go over with the key, unlock the cage, and let loose the lion. And he said, the same is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It does not need intellectual men to defend it. It just simply needs men to mine out its truth and release it for what it is. The unadulterated, unchanging word of God that no matter what circumstance we face, it will not fail. And I tell you this morning, I believe it down to my soul this morning, that this word, it doesn't matter how smart or how ignorant I may be, this word needs not my defense, but rather to do what Paul charged Timothy many years ago, to herald the word, to preach it, and to make it known. And I believe the word of God will defend itself. This gospel is not an anemic gospel. It needs not my show of force to stand and defend it, but rather it needs faithful men to stand and proclaim it for what it is. God has said it, and it is so this morning. All the essence of what Paul charged Timothy with doing here is to preach the word. And there's three things we're going to look at this morning. First of all, the charge of the minister. Let's look at this together. What is the preacher charged with doing? Preach the word. It's quite that simple. Those three words contain, if you will, the epitome of the preacher's life work: to preach the word of God. Paul had just reminded Timothy at the end of chapter 3 there and verse 16 of the power and the efficiency of this word. He says there in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. He said, Timothy, know this, the word of God is still profitable, and I want you to preach that word. Now Paul instructs Timothy here to preach the inspired and profitable word of God. That word preach means to herald or to make something known. Preaching is to burn within the soul of the minister. Oh, I'm thankful for the call to preach this morning. I can point you back to the time when God called me to preach. And ever since then, it's burned in my heart. It's been there, and it doesn't matter whether I had a lot of places to preach or I didn't have any place to preach. The word of God has burned. And I am thankful and honored by that calling this morning. But why is it to be so important? Because preaching is God's chosen method of making known his salvation. You know what? Every time I stand behind this desk and I get the opportunity to share the story of Jesus. I realize in that moment, this is God's chosen method of making known his salvation. Paul would word it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. He goes on there in verse 21 to say, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believed. How many's glad they listened to the message? Oh, I don't know where you were. I don't know what was going on. But somewhere, somehow, a seed got planted. It might not have been in that service. It may have been a days, weeks, or months up the road. But that seed began to grow. And there, through the preaching and the sharing of the gospel, you turn your life over to the Lord, because it is God's chosen method of making known his salvation unto humanity. And I'm thankful for that this morning. Number two, because the preacher will be held accountable to preach. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says these words, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Oh, can I tell you, there's been times that, oh, in myself, I was naturally a little apprehensive to say some of the things that were in this book, because I knew it might rub against the grain. But how many times have I heard that word rolling over in my heart? Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. If I don't present it in the light that God has and gives it here. Oh, woe is me, because I have done less than my reasonable service as a minister of Jesus Christ. Paul here paints a picture of a royal herald or messenger who goes forth with a message from his king to make known the will of the sovereign to his subjects. So also is the task of preaching the job of a herald, in which the preacher does not proclaim his own ideas or even the popular opinion of the day, but rather the will of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I stand before you this morning, and I pledge to you as your pastor to preach what this book says. I'm not here to share my opinions. I'm not here to share the opinions of this world. I'm here to look to this book and share what thus saith the word of the Lord. Oh yes, there are more popular ways in which to grow a church, but there's only one right way, and that is through proclaiming that book, that truth, and nothing but the truth of God, because that is what God has designed. The message of the preacher is not a message of philosophy, psychology, sociology, or education. It is not about improving your self-image or seeing greater personal development. It is about the Word of God. I'm not going to sit over here and try and pull a psychologist to you and say, well, if you think better, you'll be better. I'm not here to try and improve your self-image. Because the reality of it is this: you are born in sin and shapen into iniquity, and apart from Jesus Christ, you'll never be nothing more than a sinner. I'm not here to improve your self-image. I'm here to lift high the cross of Jesus Christ and proclaim to you what this book says, that there is salvation in no other name but at the name of Jesus. Oh, that is where salvation is found. I'm reminded of the words of Jesus as he charged his disciples, as he was commissioning them there while he was still upon earth. In Matthew chapter 10, he said, and as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Oh, that's my job this morning, to preach and remind you that the kingdom of God is at hand. It may be morning, noon, or night. It may be today, but his kingdom is coming. Are you ready? He goes on there in verse 27, what I tell you in darkness, that you speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, that you are to preach upon the housetops. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not here to proclaim my message. I'm here to proclaim his message this morning. Oh, that is what a preacher is to do. Oh, going on, why is this charge so important? Because Paul says it here. He said, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. It has both a present importance and a future importance. In other words, it was as if Paul was saying to Timothy, I make this charge in the sight of God right at this moment and in the light of his future appearing in kingdom when he shall judge and reign. You know how many times I get up before I preach? And in my prayer time, I say, Lord, I feel so inadequate to preach this message. But the Lord reminds me of the gravity of what I'm about to do. That right at the moment that I do it, I'm in the sight of God then, and that there will also come a day in light of his appearing when I will stand and I will give an account of every word that I have ministered, every sermon that I've ever preached, every time that I've ever opened this book and shared with you the truths of Scripture. I will stand and give an account of that, and that is the solemnity of this charge, that I must understand that right now I am in the sight of God, and there will come a day that I will stand in judgment before him for what I have done. I must preach the word with the understanding that I am in the sight of God at this moment, and also in light of the fact that one day I will stand and give an account for what I have done. James would warn this way: not many of you should become teachers, my brethren. For you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. He's talking about teaching elders, men that lead the church teaching. He said we shouldn't have many of those in the church, because he said those that are going to be judged with a greater strictness. I feel the weight of that this morning. That's not a light thing to me, because having known these truths and proclaim these truths, I'm going to be judged by these truths. I may have shared it with you before, but I'm reminded of Brother Clendenin. When he accepted his call to preach, not long after that, he started evangelizing. He took his wife and family and started traveling and preaching. And he wanted to get ordained in the Assemblies of God. I believe it was in the state of Tennessee. There was an elder pastor there, and he'd been talking with him, and he asked him, would you ordain me in the Assemblies of God? The pastor told him, said, yes, sir, I will. He said, matter of fact, come Sunday night, preach for us, but before you preach that Sunday night, we're going to have your ordination service. He said, well, he didn't know what that looked like. He was a heathen before he got saved. He didn't even know what an ordination service really looked like. So he said he showed up that night. He said, you know, this, everything looked normal. The pastor got up. He said, well, before we start service this evening, he said, Brother Bert Clendenin has accepted his call to preach. He's been traveling and evangelizing, and he wants to be ordained. He said, I want him to come up, and I'm going to pray over him. He said, okay, so he's come up to the front of the church. He stood there in front of that elder minister, and he said he had an old, deep, gruff voice. He said he laid his hand on his head, and he said, Lord, let him always preach truth. And if he ever ceases to preach truth, Lord, kill him. Amen. And with that, Brother Clendenin was ordained into the Assemblies of God. Now you say, well, that was awful uncouth of that pastor. Well, I'll tell you one thing. He said, it has stuck with me. I listened to a sermon. He was probably in his 80s at that time. He said, it stuck with me all of this time. He said, when somebody comes running to me and telling me how good the church up the road is doing because they've compromised, he said, I hear the gruff voice of that old preacher as he said, Lord, let him always preach truth. And if he ever fails to preach truth, kill him. He said, and I've just got to believe that God would answer his prayer. So you know what I've done? I preach truth. Oh, hallelujah. You say, well, that's awful simple, straightforward, and to the point. Well, yeah, it is. And if you ever listen to Brother Clendenin, and he was the same way, straightforward and to the point. But I say, oh, God, let us remember the gravity of this position. You say, when does a preacher preach? Well, Paul tells us, he says, be instant in season and out of season. First of all, he says, be instant. The word instant means to take a stand, to stand upon it, or to carry on, or to stick with it. A.T. Robertson said it this way, there are all sorts of seasons, some difficult and some easy, but regardless for the preacher, he's got to stick on doing what God has called him to do. Instant, in season and out of season. The task of the preacher is to stand and stick to preaching no matter what the circumstances are. I don't know how long the Lord will allow me to be your pastor. I trust it'll be for many years ahead. I'm looking for good years, and I mean that. But however long the Lord allows us to be here, I'm going to tell you the honest truth. There's going to be some that come and some that go. We're going to have joyous times when we rejoice in the Lord where God's moving. I believe that. And we're going to have times of sadness when we weep perhaps beside the graves of our loved ones. But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. Be instant in season and out of season. I'm going to get behind this desk, and by the help and grace of God, I'm going to open this book. And we're going to look together and walk with God as He leads and as He directs, because this is the will of God for us. Oh, hallelujah. Not only be instant, but He said this truth is timeless. While there are times when it seems as though the Word has greater impact than others, let me tell you, the Word of God is never out of season. He said, it doesn't matter if it seems like the seed is falling on the ground, and no sooner it touches the ground, it begins to bring forth fruit, and you see it spring up unto lively fruit. Or if you throw down seed and you never see the fruit of it, He said, nonetheless, keep casting out the seed, because you're to be instant in season and out of season. You are to do the will of God. I like the way the Amplified Version renders this phrase, because it really captures the essence well. It says it this way, preach the word. Be ready when the time is right, and even when it is not. Keep your sense of urgency, whether the opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable, whether it's convenient or inconvenient, whether welcome or unwelcome. I stand before you this morning and I say, that's my job as your pastor, to proclaim the word of God, whether it's welcomed or unwelcomed, whether it's convenient or inconvenient, the word of God has to go out. I like the way the Old Testament prophet Isaiah rendered it, talking about the word of God there in Isaiah 55 and verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and it returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it to bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. You know what? I get home at times after I preached, and I go and I read that verse, or I rehearse it in my mind, and I said, Lord, it felt like a feeble effort, but you promised me your word would not go forth void. The power is not in my ability to preach. It's in that book. And I believe that. I believe it with everything I am. How does a preacher preach? First of all, he mentions the methods of the preacher that he is to employ. He said, you are to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Well, we like the exhortation, but what about that reproving and rebuking? Reprove means by conviction to bring to the light, to expose things. You know what? There's going to be times I'm standing behind this desk and I'm preaching this word, and the God of heaven's going to shine the light into your heart, and He's going to expose something there. It's not this preacher being ugly to you. It's not me trying to single you out in the crowd. It's the Word of God doing its work. How many's ever gone outside and found an old rock that's buried down into the ground a little bit, and you picked it up or tried to pull it out of the dirt? Anybody ever done that? Maybe that's just a little boy thing. I've done it. Go over there and move, I'm going to move that rock right there. And when you pick it up, if it's in the middle of the day, what do you see? All of these little creatures scurrying. little bugs going off, because that was where that rock had been there so long that things had found comfort underneath of it because there was no light there. You know what? There's going to be times when the Word of God's going to turn over some rocks in your life. And you're going to see some things that have grown comfortable in your life. And God's going to begin to cause those things to scatter. That is the job of the preacher. When the time is right to shine the light and let the light of God's Word reprove. Let it reprove. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. There's going to be times God's going to deal about sanctification. Oh, you know what? You're going to have to let the Word do its work, because it's God highlighting in your life the areas that need work. At other times, the Word of God's going to rebuke. That word rebuke means a sharp word that implies a severe rebuke with the possibility of impending penalty. One man, I think it was... Yeah, it was Matthew Henry. He said, convince wicked people of the evil and the danger of their courses. Endeavor by dealing plainly with them to bring them to repentance. Rebuke them with gravity and authority in Christ's name, that they may add thy displeasure against them, that they can take it as an indication of God's displeasure as well. He said, in other words, he said, don't shy away from letting the Word of God rebuke people. If you're going against the Word of God, let me tell you something. One of you two are wrong, and it's not the Word of God. If you are living contrary to God's Word, I make no apologies if it rebukes you. Now, I have to deliver it in the right spirit. You can have the right verse at the wrong time, absolutely. But there's going to come a time when the Word of God's going to cut against the grain of your life, and you're going to find yourself feeling almost the displeasure of where you are living. I say, God, let us receive it, because it is God's will. God doesn't rebuke us through His Word to destroy us. He rebukes us in order to draw us closer to Him, to get us in the place where we can fellowship with Him as He has desired and designed. And then finally, he said, also the Word will exhort. Means to beseech, to encourage, to comfort. It's the same word where he talks about there in the book of John, speaking of the coming of the Holy Ghost. It's Paracletos. It's a comforter. One that comes alongside. He said the preaching of the Word at times will come alongside you, and it'll comfort you in your time of sorrow. It's going to come times I'm going to stand behind this desk when you are struggling, when life is throwing everything it's got at you, when the enemy is tempting, and you're trying to figure out how you're going to make it, and the Word of God's going to minister to your soul. Because the Word of God will comfort and exhort us in our times when our souls are downcast. How many is thankful for the ministry of the Word of God that exhorts? Second of all, we see the manner in which the preacher is to perform his duty. He said, with all longsuffering and doctrine. Or in other words, with all patience and teaching. Man, that's difficult. Yeah, you know, it'd have been a lot easier for me as a preacher if he said, with a little bit of patience, with some patience. But he says, with all patience, or in other words, with complete patience. You know what it's my job to do? Whether rebuking, exhorting, or reproving, when I'm preaching this word, I'm to do it with patience. I'm to deal with you with patience, to love you like a shepherd. I say, that's my pledge to you this morning. Will you pray for this preacher that I can do that? Because that's what I want to do. I want to love you like Christ would love you. I want to reach out to you with His Word and extend the promises of God to you. I want to see the blessings of God in your life. But it's only through long-suffering and doctrine. Not only long-suffering and patience, but quite literally, doctrine, teaching. There's going to be times I stand behind this desk and it's not going to be fireworks. And you say, well, that's every time you stand behind that desk. Well, that's okay. It's not always going to be 100 miles an hour where we're just, oh man, we're filling the word. There's going to be some Wednesday nights when we're walking through the scriptures. And you say, well, I just don't get as much out of that as I do a Sunday night service when everybody's awake and ready to worship God and we're all really feeling it. You know what? It's the job of the preacher to open that book and let the arrows fall where they lie. Because the word of God is profitable. In other words, it's useful. It's good for something. All scripture is profitable. So as we walk through it, whether we're talking about modern day things that we face and how it lines up with the Bible, or we're turning to the Old Testament and doing a character study, or we're talking about the attributes of God, it's all profitable. It's all got to be taught. It's all got to be understood. It's part of the whole counsel of God, and we need it in our lives. Oh, hallelujah. Moving on, the challenge a minister faces. I won't be much longer. First of all, the challenge that Paul warned Timothy that he would face is a people that cannot endure sound doctrine. He said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Paul warns Timothy that one of the challenges he will face is that many will not be able to endure sound or healthy teaching. You know what? I've seen it already. Not talking about since I've been a pastor. I'm talking about since I've been a minister. There's just some people can't stick with the sound teaching of God's word. Oh, they like it whenever the service is 100 miles an hour. Oh, well, we really enjoyed the songs you sing, but just that teaching, I don't have much place for that. Cannot endure it. That's what he talks about. Now, I believe this is twofold in the sense, first of all, they can sit down and watch a sports game. They can stroll through a social media feed. They can walk through a retail store or even hang out with friends for hours on end. But let the preacher preach over 30 minutes and they're already in another world. They can't endure it. Their attention span can't handle it. You said, Brother Shane, you preach long sometimes. Well, I will tell you as your pastor, I'm going to endeavor not to wear you out. But I'm also going to challenge you. Stretch your attention span, not because you want to hear me preach. Stretch your attention span because of this book. Because in it is the word of life. And don't come to me, and I'm just going to tell you, don't come to me and tell you you don't have the attention span to endure a 45-minute sermon whenever you post on Facebook all day long. And I'm not talking about anybody specifically here. I've just seen people. Had a lady stand and meet me in a church aisle, and it was not here. I was preaching services for a pastor down in North Carolina, Sunday services. And y'all know me, I preach probably at least 40 minutes every time I preach. And that Sunday morning and Sunday night, I preach 45 minutes. Both services are right there around about. And that lady come up to my wife, and she said, oh, I tell you one thing, he's a long-winded preacher, ain't he? So we ain't used to that. 15, 20 minutes, and we're done. I tell you one thing, nominal sermons will make nominal Christians. I'm not looking for nominal people here. I don't believe God's called us to be nominal. I'm not just looking to barely make it in the gate. I believe God has called us to understand what His Word says and to live like we understand it. God help us. Paul goes on, I believe also the second part of that is others cannot endure healthy doctrine because they do not like to be shown through the word that they are wrong. There's times that you're going to turn to that book when a preacher's preaching and you're going to find out you don't have it all figured out. You know how many times that happens to me? I thought I had it figured out and I go to that book. I listen to that preacher and I realize he's right. Not that he's right, but the word is right. And you know what? I don't get mad at the word because somebody took the time to mine out the truth. I adjust my life accordingly and I say, God, let my life line up to your word. Because it matters not how many talents I had if I don't line up to that book. Because that's what we're going to be judged by. And I say, God, help us to live like it. Paul goes on to say they're going to turn away their ears from the truth and they shall be turned unto fables. In other words, they're going to seek out lies, if you will. Oh, Romans chapter 1, Paul gave this stinging rebuke against those in sin. He said they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. You know how many people say, well, I just don't know about what you preach. I don't see it exactly like you see it. Well, there's some things we got some grounds for disagreement. But if that Bible teaches it, it clearly says it, we have no grounds for disagreement. We have none. Because the Bible's right every time. I don't know about you. I'm not looking for a lie. I'm looking for the truth. And I believe you are as well. And it's my pledge to you to present it to the best I know how, to the best of my ability, to present the truth for you. He goes on to talk about how they're going to search for a soothing word. He said, after their own lust or desires, they're going to heap to themselves teachers. Paul warns that these people who cannot endure sound doctrine and healthy teaching will try to find a teacher who matches their desires. Paul, in this charge to Timothy, puts to rest any idea of a seeker-sensitive church. He said, in other words, he said, Timothy, I want you to preach the gospel. In season or out of season, you preach it. He said, there's just some people ain't going to be able to endure it. He said, but even if they don't endure it, preach it anyway, because it's still right. It puts to rest any idea of a seeker-sensitive church. Well, we got to look like the world if we're going to win the world. No, we don't. Because he said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For the love of the world is to be an enemy of God. That's the book. I say, God, help us to live it. He goes on to describe that with this vivid illustration, these people, he said, they have itching ears. In other words, he describes these individuals that cannot endure sound doctrine like those who have an itch and they're looking for it to get scratched. In other words, they are in search of soothing words. Someone to scratch the itch of their desires. You know how many people come into churches and you tell them that fornication is a sin and they're shacking up with their significant other? And all of a sudden you're hateful, you're legalist, oh, you don't love people like you're supposed to. No, that's the book. But they'll go down the road and find a preacher who doesn't preach against it and tells them everything's fine and scratch their ears all the way to hell. You say, that's plain language, that's the honest truth. I'm not here to scratch anybody's ears. I'm not here to make you feel comfortable in your sin. I trust there is no sin in your life, but if there is, I would never want you to be comfortable there. I'd rather you not come to this church and not listen to me preach than to sit here Sunday after Sunday and me scratch your ears and make you comfortable in your sin. Oh, I want sinners to know they're loved here. I want them to walk through the door. We've had some recently walk through the door and felt the love, and I thank God for that. But I don't want them to go year on end walking through those doors and feeling as though they're okay in their sin. Because at that point, we're not loving them, we're lying to them. We got to tell them the truth. Sin isn't something to be fooled with. It isn't something to be played with. It is something to be forsaken and left behind you and accept the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, because He is the only one that can deliver from the death of sin. How many believe that this morning? Rather than having a desire for sound doctrine, they are dominated by their selfish desires. The third thing, he gives the commitment of a minister to Timothy. He tells him here, first of all, he's going to conclude with this, reminding Timothy of four things under which he must be committed as a minister. First of all, Paul reminds Timothy to watch in all things. Quite literally, some translations render it, Timothy, keep your head. Keep your cool. Be self-controlled. Different renderings of it. But it's all the same idea. He said, in other words, Timothy, I want, no matter what you're facing, in all things, keep your head. Don't lose your cool. Understand what's going on around you. Understand the gravity of what you're doing. Can I tell you, God helped me to do the same. In all things, to watch, be vigilant, to know what God has. Second of all, Paul reminds him to endure afflictions. He said, don't think that this means that you're going to just enjoy life from here on out and you're never going to have any hardship. You're going to face some hard times, Timothy. But when you face them, he said, you are to endure. You're to have some perseverance about you. Stand up and be a man, son. Do what God's called you to do. Have confidence in God's calling and preach the word of God. This means to suffer hardships, troubles, problems, difficulties, and evils. I'll tell you this morning, personally, I did not quit the shipyard to come to become the pastor of this church under the illusion that all would be easy. I know that troubles are going to come, but God's called me to endure. I don't know what the future may hold. I won't even begin to speculate on it because I know there's going to be good and there's going to come some bad. But God's called me to endure. Will you pray for this preacher that God will help me to endure no matter what comes? Third of all, he tells him, do the work of an evangelist. Now, this does not mean that the pastor is to become a traveling evangelist. It means that his work is to be evangelistic in nature. In other words, the pastor is to be concerned with winning lost souls. You know what? I love every person here under the sound of my voice this morning, and I mean that. And I can tell you, since God has dealt with me about pastoring this church, is a different kind of love I feel like Lord's put in my heart for you. It's the love of a pastor. But as much as I love your faces and I love being with you, I have a love for those people that are outside of these walls. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We got to look around us. There ain't none of us in this room getting any younger. And I'm just going to speak honestly with you. If the Lord should tarry 20 years, you think about it, 20 years, if he should tarry and he allows me to be the pastor of this church, I'm going to stand with tears in my eyes and most likely preach some of y'all's funerals. That's just reality. But you know what? Just because I preach some of y'all's funerals doesn't mean Abundant Life Tabernacle is going to be done. There's still souls out there that need a Savior. This area needs a message of holiness and Pentecost. Brother Glenn, I read your book. I read it all the way through, brother. Two times sitting down and I read all the way through it. And I'm going to tell you something, brother. I believe what the Lord told you back then. If we're not going to lift up the banner of holiness and Pentecost, we have no reason to exist. Churches are a dime a dozen in this city. Oh, there's every flavor and every type and every denomination and every outlook that you can imagine. But if we aren't going to lift high the banner of holiness and we aren't going to lift high the truth of Pentecost, we have no reason to be here this morning. I believe it with every fiber of who I am. And I want to see some other people see it happen here right now. I want my son to know what Pentecost is. I want him to know the beauty of holiness. I want him to see what it is for people to serve God with their whole heart. I want him to see what it is for sinners to come in and give their heart to Christ and their lives be transformed. Oh, that's my commitment to you this morning. Do the work of an evangelist. And finally, he says, make full proof of thy ministry. A minister, in other words, is to complete and fulfill his ministry or fill it to the brim. Now, if you could, you could go back to where he gives the five full classifications of what ministers look like. He talks about apostles. He talks about prophets. He talks about evangelists. And he talks about pastor, teachers. I would actually tie those two together, but nonetheless, he said, whatever your ministry is, and for Timothy it was a pastor, he said, do it to the fullness of it, with everything you got. Can I tell you this morning, I stand before you as a 28-year-old young man, and I commit to you to give this ministry everything I've got. To give it everything I've got. Not looking back. I'm not going to look at the things we don't have here and complain. I'm going to look at the things we do have here and say, God, add to it. Because I want to fulfill what God has called me to the fullness. So this morning, I want every person to stand. I want my wife to come up to the front of this building. We're going to stand in front of this communion building or communion table. And I want everyone that would gather around us. Everyone that would. And you know what we're going to do this morning? I'm asking you as your pastor now, I want you to gather around us and I want you to pray for us. Because I'll be honest, I've got a big task ahead of me. And I know within myself, I'm not able. I'm honest with you. I don't have the ability, but I know He does. Number one, I know He has the ability. And number two, I know He's called me to be here. So I tell you and I pledge to you as your pastor this morning that I'm going to preach the word. I'm going to be instant in season and out of season. At times I'm going to reprove. At times I'm going to rebuke. Oh, but I look forward to those times where I get to exhort, encourage you. But nonetheless, I want to share the whole counsel of God with you. I want to keep my head in all things. I want to endure hardship. I want to do the work of an evangelist. And finally, I want to fulfill everything that this calling has in the sight of God. Will you pray for this pastor this morning? That God will help us to do that. Will you commit with us and say, I want to see God use you for His glory. If you'll do that, will you stretch forth your hand this way and pray for us this morning?
Lord, we need you, Lord, I need your grace, but you're a great pastor of this church. God.